Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Coming back with a little Fleetwood Mac. I heard a Young the Giant cover of a Fleetwood Mac song from Lollapalooza in Chicago. You guys see the crowds from Lollapalooza?
Holy cow, yeah.
Hey, can you say super spreader event?
They were really packed in there.
Well, let me play something, though, as an example along those lines, because I often start the day sort of dialing into the first few minutes, the first segment, if you will, of CBS This Morning. And of course, Missouri is being featured quite a bit in a lot of these stories because of COVID and the Delta variant. But I want to play this because it's interesting to me, and we will juxtapose something here. Here's the story. This is one of the lead stories, CBS This Morning, from Maria Villarreal this morning.
Love you.
Billy Baker and her son Brody have spent 17 days outside this Missouri ICU where Brody's father Daryl is battling COVID and is unable to have visitors. The 31-year-old was originally given a 20% chance of survival, and 10 of his relatives tested positive for the virus.
I was strongly against getting the vaccine just because.
Kind of have to hear what he says here. He says, I was strongly against getting the vaccine. He's on a respirator when he's talking here.
Just because we're a strong conservative family, but that little boy out there is a reason to have a vaccine.
So he said because we're a strong conservative family, but then he was pointing toward his son who was in, you know, outside. He was looking at him through a glass window.
Just over 40% of Missourians are fully vaccinated. The state's daily death rate more than tripled in the past 2 weeks. At Lake Regional Health System, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Harbach Sanga says they're fighting their fourth surge.
The ICU is busier than it ever has been. 40% of our inpatient census is COVID.
Okay, so we know this because we've heard the storyline, but here, let me just tell you something here. There's a lot of people that were at Lollapalooza. They showed all these views from the Lake of the Ozarks, by the way, where people are outside and Lollapalooza's outside, but that doesn't seem to matter to people. But you want to start talking about super spreader events. We've had examples of those, but they want to point toward the Lake of the Ozarks and the dumb rednecks here in Missouri. Well, the polling shows you that there's just as many people who are liberal that are refusing to get the shot for whatever reason as well. Younger people in particular. I have a son that just flew in today. Did I tell you guys this story, Fred? I think I shared this with you, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know what to make of this. So I'm dealing with helping Evan get another car. Actually, he's at MasterCars, I think, right now, picking it up. And he lives down in Houston. But when we were trying to go over this, so I don't even know if I told you this story from last week. We're kind of going back and forth with the car stuff. And at one point, he was taking his roommate to get a COVID test. So that was one of the things he said in the background. And at one point, I said, hey, one thing I have a small amount of concern about is you dragging back the Delta variant. Now, here's what I said last week. He said, I'm taking my roommate to get a COVID test. Are you vaccinated? That was a question. He said, no. He said, no, I'm working on it. That was his answer. So his response here on his roommate, Dave, listen to this. I don't even know what to make of this, but if this is where the mindset is of a lot of people, he says his roommate got a test because he's a nervous wreck. He's fully vaxxed. He just saw someone on his plane take their mask off for 1 second, and he tested negative. The kid, of course,
well,
he
tested
negative.
Of course he would.
Well, but if that's how freaked out people are, with all this stuff, I don't know how we have any hope, right? So you got, on the one hand, you got people that aren't going to get, you know, vaccinated because Bill Gates has put the chip in their head. On the other hand, you have people that are so scared because the media has scared us all into this fear porn with the Delta variant, which I'm taking seriously. But again, if you're someone who feels like you have to get a test, especially if you're a young, healthy person like my son's roommate, because you saw someone taking off their mask, that's a psychological issue.
Oh,
that
yes,
needs
it is
to be addressed. And I don't know, but again, I think it's just perhaps representative of how confused people are.
Sure.
They don't know what to believe. I saw something today with where we were. I thought I put this in my reading list, but there was a great text string talking about where we have sort of gone and come with all this stuff, just with the advice from health, you know, health professionals, just from last January. Well, you don't need to wear a mask. Well, you got to wear a mask because, you know, it might prevent you from spreading it if you have it. Well, then this works and that works.
I remember wiping down all my groceries all the time.
Wiping down your, like I would
everything.
Take, this is the one thing I always said, like we put our sweatshirts or our shirts around our hands when we would go into the convenience store, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because we thought of the gas pump or something like that. So it's hard for me to be super critical of someone like that, like my son's roommate, only because of the level of confusion that's out there. And I think we're finding that it's even more confusing as every day goes by. But, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll just have to see if things get better, and hopefully they will.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
How generous. Okay.
I held back on a lot of Olympic stories because I'm guessing you might have quite
Yay!
A few.
Yay! All right. Well, let's talk about Jade Carey. We talked about her a little bit earlier. She's 21. She's a gold medalist now. She earned her first Olympic medal on the women's floor final in Tokyo. She's from Arizona. She was only the second one to compete on the floor. So, boy, that's nerve-wracking when you have that many after you. But what do you think, Fred? Did you see it?
I get so confused by the time differences. Has it aired yet?
I don't actually know.
I think it might have this morning, although sometimes I think they're holding back on the gymnastics
yes.
so people see it tonight. I did not see it. I just read about it.
I didn't see it. I just assumed it's coming up tonight.
No, I was busy watching synchronized swimming
no,
right
you weren't.
Around noon. No, I was.
Artistic,
I have video evidence.
Artistic swimming.
I just wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, Sue. Hey, guess what? So-and-so just won this. I'm like, well, I guess there's no point
yeah.
in seeing it tonight.
I have given up
yeah.
because social media will tell you. Everybody
it ruins
will tell
everything.
You. And if I watch TV in the middle of the day, like the artistic swimming, but I also saw some track and field and it ruined it for it. So I just, it's okay. I'll yep. watch it again knowing who wins.
What about the badminton final today? Because I was just absolutely into that.
It's
that was crazy.
Are you saying that sarcastically?
I am.
I
yeah.
would watch that.
It's fascinating, I think. I can't watch it for an hour or anything.
Hey, why don't they have
wow.
pickleball in the Olympics? Shouldn't they have pickleball in the
I
Olympics?
I bet that'll come up.
I think it actually
yeah.
might.
I think
very
eventually
popular with the geriatrics.
See, cornhole, I think, is the next big one.
Well, why not?
Cornhole.
Okay, look, why wouldn't you put, and I'm being serious here, why wouldn't you put cornhole in if you have synchronized swimming?
Give it time. Give
Again.
It time. It will be there.
Artistic
will they judge? Will
swimming.
They judge the cornhole toss on whether my face was full of some smile or evil
not
look?
Not unless it's artistic cornhole.
Artistic synchronized cornhole is what we're going to do.
Rhythmic.
Yeah, rhythmic cornhole.
Rhythmic cornhole.
That sounds a little dirty, I'm just going to tell you.
It made me nervous. I felt a little, I didn't like that. Simone Biles will return for the balance beam finals, and those I think we can watch tonight. Who knows?
I think I heard somebody say 4:50 a.m. I think that was Eastern time tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
On the Olympic app.
So what time is it? What time is it there
Tokyo
then?
Tokyo is
14
hours
yeah.
ahead of
okay.
us.
Yeah. So she may be doing that right now for all we know.
Or she may be home already.
Yeah, who knows?
But you're saying Tuesday morning, tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
So
but
be...
it is Tuesday there now, correct?
What? Yes, it is.
When he was saying Eastern time Tuesday morning.
It's like 6:15.
Oh, okay.
He's saying our time.
It's 6:15 p.m.
No,
a.m.
Tuesday morning.
But at 4:50 Eastern, which would be 3:50 our time, it's in
the morning.
It would be in the
right,
evening.
It'll be
there.
The evening there.
You may or may not get to watch it until tomorrow night. No one really knows. Not even Fred, who is our gymnastics
Although
expert.
I heard somebody say they were going to set their alarm clock to get up and watch it on the Olympics app.
Oh, that was nice.
When you say
they're
you heard
crazy.
Somebody, like what, somebody
it
in
was
the building?
Someone on television.
Oh, okay. Wow, they're
story.
Crazy.
I might be able to see that tomorrow. Biles won a bronze on the beam in Rio 5 years ago, and her bout with the twisties, she feels like she can handle the beam, so let's just hope that she can. Katie Ledecky did really well. She has become one of the most decorated female swimmers in Olympic history with her 6th individual gold medal. She is undefeated in every 800-meter freestyle race she's been in over the last 11 years.
Whoa.
That's incredible.
That's a lot of pressure.
Man, it is. Only Michael Phelps has won more swimming gold medals.
You know, and I was watching, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursday, when she was being interviewed after one of the events, and they seem to assume that she's not going to compete anymore. And she sort of said, wait a second, I'm not done.
I'm going to keep going. I saw that same interview. Caleb Dressel, who I now love, has joined Phelps and Mark Spitz to win at least 3 individual gold medals in the same Olympics. I went down a Mark Spitz rabbit hole on YouTube today. He's so great. If you get a chance and you're interested to watch Mark Spitz talk about...
Well, you just pulled up a bunch of Mark Spitz clips?
Yeah. But it was somebody doing an interview of him before these Olympics, and he talks about how he got into it. Mark, they show video from 1972. They're not wearing goggles. Nobody, and they're wearing Speedos, nothing that makes you fast, no goggles, and mustaches.
See, I miss the mustaches in Olympic diving.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, in swimming. So,
well, swimming, yeah.
And how that's not a drag, I don't know. But his record stood for 33 years.
You mean how
years.
A mustache isn't a drag? That's
yes.
a good point. Dave, do you ever remember, I mean, you know the name Mark Spitz, but those were some of the first Olympic memories that I have, probably.
Same
Bruce
here.
Jenner, too. I'm
same
sorry.
Here.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Let's get it right.
Correct.
Right.
Remember the Wheaties box?
Yes.
That was such a big deal.
I think that's one of my favorite, like, Newsweek magazine covers, is the Mark Spitz
yes,
cover.
Yes, with all the, yeah, yeah. It's very cool. He's just a really cool guy.
You know, were there that many tattoos on Olympic swimmers?
Oh, no way.
No.
I mean,
no.
Isn't it amazing the size of the tattoos
yes.
on the Olympic swimmers?
You know, Mark Spitz, to go and swim that stuff with no goggles still freaks me out. If I get in the pool today without goggles,
oh,
I'm like, what?
Sue,
where
who
am
was
I?
It the other day? It was on one of the relays where one of our swimmers
oh, yeah.
was
Lydia?
It the girl from
the
Alaska.
Girl from Alaska, yes.
Lydia?
Right
Jacoby?
when she dove into the pool, the goggles kind of got stuck on her
oh,
mouth.
Oh, man, that was bad.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I always like it. By the way, one of the best parts of all this has been, because Rowdy Gaines really gets into it,
yeah,
and I
does.
Like it. You know,
I love
like,
it.
But when there's an American that has a chance, and they're in the race until the turn, and then it becomes really clear that they're not going to even be there at the finish. He's like, and there she goes. I can't even do the impression. Oh, and then he moves on right away. He's
yep.
like, oh, they're done. Okay, now it's between
yes.
these three people, and
yes.
they're just totally out of it.
I love
but
him.
He does bring that level.
He
Dan
really
Hicks
does.
Do a good job on that, I
he
think.
He really does. We're going to switch gears. In a new poll, guess who is the people's favorite to be the new permanent host of Jeopardy?
LeVar Burton.
Oh, that's a good guess. Number 3, Dave.
He was good.
He was the favorite is Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings is number 1. Producer Mike Richards is 2nd. LeVar Burton is 3rd. Mike Richards, is he producer of the show?
I'm guessing
I didn't even
maybe?
Look that part up. I was like, who the
who?
Heck is Mike Richards?
Well, after yeah. Seinfeld, he became a producer. And after all the whole racist thing in the comedy club, he
oh
decided to produce Jeopardy.
Well, that makes
so
sense.
Did Aaron Rodgers crack the top 5 at all? Do
no,
we know?
Well, oh, mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I only looked up the top 3.
Okay.
And 4 was not him, so I'm not
what
sure.
What would be wrong, just out of curiosity, what would be wrong with doing rotating hosts on a regular basis? Do LeVar
yeah,
Burton for a
know.
Month
That's
and somebody
actually
for a month?
Good question. No problem.
Speaking, stating the obvious, you might even save some money doing it because you'd compensate
really,
people. But
he's not really doing a lot these
didn't
days.
Joe Buck also tried out. He did a couple weeks stint.
Oh, yeah, that's
Joe
true.
Buck.
Yeah, he didn't. Malum Blalick, how do you say her name? She was in the
Bialik,
top.
Is that
Bialik,
yeah.
Thank you, Dave. She was at
Blossom.
Number 4.
That's how I say her name, Blossom.
Yeah, Blossom was there. Your pal, Bruce Springsteen. The boss has respectfully declined an offer from the state of New Jersey to have a rest stop named after him. Oh, I don't know why.
Thank goodness.
The turnpike.
Born for the runs.
Dave.
Sorry.
That was sad, yet that amused me. I think
sorry.
That may be the first one. Come on, that was funny. The New York Turnpike has a history of naming its rest stop after famous people, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Edison. Springsteen said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pass.
That's a good pass on Bruce Park, I think, right?
We're going to go ahead and stop at the Bon Jovi rest stop there.
Rosie O'Donnell will appear in a League of her, League of Their Own reboot.
Oh,
I didn't know
bad.
They were going to do that. Did
that
you?
That is too bad. Well, I was excited until you said Rosie O'Donnell was going to be a part of it.
I know.
You can't reboot that movie.
I know.
That's not a good idea.
First one. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
She was on the Everything Iconic podcast. She said she will make an appearance in Amazon's reboot of A League of Their Own, but she tells the Everything Iconic podcast person she won't play the same role. She will not be Doris Murphy. She will be playing a bartender at a local gay bar.
As much as I dislike Rosie O'Donnell, she was good in that movie, but that was before I really, really had the distaste for her.
Yeah.
She was on The View all those years and
I
all that. Maybe I should bring her back to The View.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would agree with that sentiment, I think. Officials with the Jacksonville Zoo say they will not press charges against a man who was injured after sticking his hand in a jaguar cage. What is the matter with people?
Wait. Repeat. They're going to do what now? They're not going to do what?
No, they're not going to press charges because he was an idiot. Witnesses say the man jumped over a safety barrier and was waving his hand around trying to get the attention of the big cats. Well, guess what? They noticed him and one clawed him.
Good.
Thank
you. Somebody should have pushed him in.
Thank you.
That would have been a better display at the zoo.
I bet it's just to get some views on TikTok.
Probably.
That's probably it.
Somehow he'll. But no. Somehow he will sue. A lawyer will find a way to sue the zoo because somehow the zoo put him in that position to jump over the barriers and put himself.
The signage wasn't big enough.
Yeah, exactly. No, I guarantee there'll be some sort of lawsuit.
The jaguar wanted me to do it.
I like that you said it would make for a better display at the zoo.
I always thought it would. I mean, I still think they should let... Here's what would be cool at the zoo. I don't think you could do this with small children. There might be some laws against it.
Mommy, what is that?
But what if we did some live feedings at the zoo?
Yes.
We know these are wild animals. Let's let a couple of... you know,
adults only.
And
some of the smaller. Let's feed the animals. Don't you think that'd be cool?
And we've.
I see it on Nat Geo. Why can't you do it at the zoo? Seriously, I think that would be really fun. Just.
I'd like to see that.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. I think it'd be awesome.
And today's random fact on Sue's News: the snow in the Wizard of Oz was pure asbestos.
I have heard this before.
That's
a lot of it, too.
Isn't it?
Yes, a ton of it. So was the Wicked Witch's broom and Scarecrow's costume.
They're all made of asbestos.
Yep.
Ooh, speaking of lawyers and lawsuits. Hey, you didn't do the... I thought you were going to do the story about the guy from Qatar and Italy, because this was a great story in the Olympics. Did you see this?
Oh, I forgot. I did have him in here,
so
yes.
So these are the high jump guys. Mutaz Barshim and Gianmarco Tamberi of Italy. And they're friends. They're like really good friends. And they were perfect on all their jumps until the bar was raised to what would have been the new Olympic record height. Fred and Dave, did you see this?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so
I did not see this.
They got three cracks at clearing it. They failed on all three. So that would need a jump off to break the tie. But they actually asked the question. They said, well, can we share the gold? And that is allowed. So they are going to share the gold instead of play overtime.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of ties, you know, like if you have a soccer game or a basketball game or something. But in this particular case, I it was a cool story. And just the way that they celebrated it, I thought it was very...
The camaraderie cool that the Olympics is all about. It's
pretty
cool.
It's nice.
And did you see the two runners that ran into each other?
Oh, yeah.
And then
I did
got
see
up
that.
Together and crossed the finish line together.
Yeah.
That was very
nice.
Maybe you can help me with that, because I was watching that with the audio down. Was someone to blame in that particular instance or not?
Didn't look
did
like
they
it
just
looked
kind
like
of
the
trip
guy
over
ahead
one
of
another?
Them stumbled and the guy behind him just fell over him.
Right, right. Now, I did see they kind of hugged to the line. You know what was funny about that, though? And you saw this happen. The American dude, they hug, they go up to the line, but the American dude can't help himself. He has to get over the line before the other guy.
Right.
He jumped in, and then when they put the final standings, he was like 0.007 ahead of the guy that tripped him. Anyway, there you go. 425, 97.1 FM Talk. Frank Cusimano from KSDK coming up here as we regularly visit with him on every Monday and Friday. He still owes me milkshakes, Dave, from the NBA final bet. How about that? We haven't had a chance to talk about that. Giannis The Greek Freak coming back for the
Good
Bucks.
For him.
I win some milkshakes from Mr. Cusimano, so he's coming up. Some calls after the top of the hour on a vaccine-related topic. And I tweeted out last week at some point, you know, seeing all this stuff with the Delta variant. I said, look, people are going to get, you're going to get this. I've never had COVID. I'm double vaxxed. I'm going to get it eventually. Not going to get bad symptoms, probably, because I'm vaxxed. That's the hope. We found out Lindsey Graham has the virus, and he has been vaxxed. But Ross Pomeroy wrote about this on Real Clear Science today. You're probably going to be infected with the coronavirus. You have to recognize that. And there is going to be differences based on whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, perhaps. Ross, how are you this afternoon? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
The premise is certainly accurate that you wrote about, because, look, the way that this thing is spreading right now, if you haven't had it already, and if we are to believe the, you know, the infection rate of the Delta variant, it's everywhere. You're going to get this thing, right?
Yeah, and the infection rate is likely actually much higher than what we're seeing. Right now we're at a daily average, a seven-day daily average of 100,000 new infections every day in the U.S. But the former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, is actually predicting we're probably at 1 million cases a day right now, just because so many are likely asymptomatic or go unreported.
And one of the things he said, I thought this was interesting, just because I think this is the perception of a lot of people. When you say, or even when I say, you will almost certainly be infected with this virus, you said this fact may come as a surprise to many Americans, because if you spent hours sanitizing surfaces, groceries, you've worn a mask, you're doing all these things. Do you think, because I do sense that there are a lot of people right now, they're just confused. They don't know what to believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that a lot of people are just so deathly afraid of this virus. And of course, you know, it's a pandemic. We should be taking precautions. But, you know, the goal has never been just to avoid it at all costs. The goal, once we have these safe and effective vaccines, is to get vaccinated and then continue living our lives. I really think that's what people should be doing.
So did you speak with Dr. Michael Osterholm? I know that you have some of his perspective in this piece about vaccines and where we're heading with all this.
I've actually never had the honor of speaking with him. He's actually in Minneapolis. It's over the University of Minnesota, across the river from me. But he's been all over the news. And, you know, he's one of those true sages who's actually been saying, even a year ago, that we'll be dealing with this virus forever. And, I mean, that's just simply what's going to happen. It's going to be around. The genie's out of the bottle. It's worldwide. It's just going to get around. But eventually, now that we have these vaccines, now that a lot of people have acquired immunity from infection, it's just going to get less and less over time. It'll crop up. It'll cause some outbreaks. But the death rate's going to continue to abate and abate. And that's even with this Delta variant, I might add. A lot of people are afraid of Delta, understandably, because there's been some pretty scary headlines. And, for example, the Washington Post and the New York Times. But we already saw what it did in the United Kingdom. Now, here's an example. United Kingdom, they had a winter spike of COVID, which wasn't the Delta variant, it was a previous variant, 59,000 cases a day, 1,200 deaths. But their most recent Delta spike, which is already on the decline, we're seeing an average high of only 80 deaths. So a lot of people back in the day, they called COVID a case-demic, just because there's lots of cases, relatively low deaths. That wasn't true back then, but if the UK is any example now with its Delta variant, it is true now.
Yeah, and I'm keeping an eye on what's happening over there. In fact, I'm trying to get a guest to come on from across the pond tomorrow, because we're now, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, that was Freedom Day, right?
Correct. It was July 19th, and there were a lot of cataclysmic predictions about 3 weeks ago. And now that it's been 3 weeks, a lot of people predicted their cases were continue to explode, and they are exploding in the opposite direction. They are dropping precipitously.
Yeah, that's encouraging. And I think amidst a sea of negativity, that's something I think people should keep their eyes on. You mentioned something, Ross, in the piece I thought was interesting. I always get the flu shot every year. And I've been whacked by, and always one of my pet peeves is when people have a bit of a stomach virus, or they're, you know, puking or pooping or whatever, then they say they have the flu. That's not really the flu. The flu is something that really cripples you a little bit. It can whack your body pretty hard. If you don't have the vaccine, it really, I was knocked on my ass for a couple of weeks when I remember having the regular flu. But you said in this piece that you get the flu about once every 5 years on average. But for the most part, a lot of people don't even know they have it, right?
That's true. And that's kind of one good, if there's any good silver lining out of this pandemic, there's a lot of education that's been happening. And that a lot of times, even with these, you know, deadly viruses that can be deadly, a lot of times the infections are just asymptomatic, and that's the same with the flu. When we do these seroprevalence studies, and you can actually see if there's antibodies to a specific virus, you can do that with the flu. You'll see that people have these antibodies indicating they've been infected. They just never noticed, and that's actually typically what happens with the flu, it seems. You know, people will get it maybe once every 5-10 years or so, and that's pretty much everybody, and most of the times they just don't notice.
A lot of the attention right now is on kids, many of which have not been vaccinated. I have a 6-year-old, and, you know, obviously there's going to be concern moving forward with children. What's the view on that? What is your current view on kids and the vaccine and getting this virus?
Well, as a science journalist, I try not to let my view do the talk, and I try to, you know, look at obviously what the evidence is saying. And, I mean, the evidence so far, I mean, is... Well, I'll take a step back. Unfortunately, the news media does cover these tragic deaths a lot, and that's just because they are so rare. And the fact is that compared to adults, kids are 98% less likely to develop a severe disease and die. It's actually, I believe, if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, it's even less deadly and less dangerous than the flu for children.
Yes, it is. This is an important line in the piece that I found on Real Clear Science. You said, even if vaccines don't prevent infection, we know that now, we were told that to begin with, that's okay. But I think people at this point are looking for some in the media are, but you know, I'm not a very positive person, so unfortunately, people like me get influenced by this. You see the worst news, and it's almost like the headlines should be the exact opposite of what they are these days.
Well, sadly, I mean, that's kind of just the way the news works. It's, you know, they want to report anecdotes because anecdotes are rare, they're exciting, or they're terrifying. They're what gets clicks. But if you look at the data, it's often, you know, well, the good news in this case, it's more optimistic. It feels better, but that's just not what gets clicks. That's not what gets attention.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. Ross Pomeroy from Real Clear Science. I appreciate coming on here this afternoon, Ross.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
4:30. I wanted to play this clip here sort of as a piggyback to that segment from Dr. Megan Ranney, who's at Brown University, talking about life after the pandemic here.
We are never going to go back to a pre-pandemic reality. And I do agree that we do have to become comfortable with the fact that this virus is going to be sticking around. Our goal is to decrease severe illness, hospitalization, and death. But there are still some things that we don't really know. We don't know how much this novel variant, the Delta variant, affects children. It is our responsibility to keep them safe until they can get vaccinated. And it's our responsibility to stop these surges while there are still so many who are unvaccinated. Listen, there are 200 hospital workers in San Francisco who've gotten sick over the last couple of weeks because of exposure largely to unvaccinated people who caught Delta, who then got the vaccinated sick. That's not fair. So yes, we have to learn to live with this, but today is not the moment where we drop our precautions. When we get all of our kids vaccinated, when we know a little more about the long-term effects of the breakthroughs, then that's the point at which this becomes yet another virus that is part of our day-to-day life.
All right. Well, that's going to be, you know, I think people will say, look, the healthcare workers, they're going to have those extreme positions. I think a lot of people right now, and I'm going to offer some evidence of this after the top of the hour, they have sort of moved on and they don't trust a lot of the information. So I took a screen capture from Virginia today because you hear about what happened in Provincetown. She offered this example from San Francisco. I'm very skeptical when I hear stories about these breakthrough infections. And I think last week I offered an example of at the beginning of the school year. So it probably would have been about a year ago last year at this time in August, where you had this school, I think it was in Alabama. All of a sudden the kids get back to class. We're debating whether or not kids should even be in school. And there's these infections that run through this one school. Nothing really ever happened from that at all. It was never a big problem. We knew that private schools went ahead and had in-person schooling. And finally, local public school districts, at least here in this area, did. So when I hear about those breakthrough infections and everything, I want to know more about them. Because when I see numbers like this, this seems to make a lot more sense. The percent, this is from Virginia, the percent of cases in people not fully vaccinated, 97.69%. The percent of hospitalizations in people not fully vaccinated, 96.05%. The percent of deaths in people not fully vaccinated, 94%. And then you have the breakthrough cases. So you have 303, and this is out of 12,784. That's 0.007%. The total breakthrough hospitalizations, 17 out of that figure. That is 0.0004%. and the total breakthrough deaths in Virginia. Now, keep in mind, we're changing everything we do, and mask mandates are back, and restaurants are going to require vaccinations. I'll take some calls on this. One breakthrough death in Virginia, and those numbers are very similar from state to state. Frank Cusimano coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk. Well, since I'm an old guy, I root for old guys, and I'm not talking about Frank Cusimano. I'm talking about Adam Wainwright, although Frank probably, you know, qualifies too. But what would we do if we didn't have the old guys on the St. Louis Cardinals, Cusimano? Because Waino seems to be like the one guy that keeps getting it done.
Yeah, a funny thing happened to Waino on his way to retirement. He may not be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're that good at what you're doing, how do you walk away? I know he doesn't need the money, but I thought Jim Edmonds made an interesting comment the other day. He's almost like morphed into a Greg Maddux, like thinking man's pitcher. Not that he wasn't before, but gosh, it's unbelievable. He gives you seven innings every outing. It's insane.
So Dave Klein is back this afternoon. He was on a respite, but he just asked me if we talked about the new old guy additions.
Yeah,
to
I was
the
say that
we mentioned it a little bit. When are they going to make their starts? When are they going to make their starts?
It'll be this week, Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The thing about it is Wade LeBlanc is going to be a part of that. I don't know if we've ever had a situation where we have Wade LeBlanc, who turns 37 on Saturday, and then Lester, who's 37, and then J.A. Happ, who's 38. I don't think we've ever had a stretch with this type of age in a rotation.
Whoa.
Well, I've kind of become so apathetic. I mentioned this last week, but they did. Did they nab a couple of wins over the weekend?
They did.
They won the
against
series.
The hapless Minnesota Twins. You know what's interesting, Mark? I think you'll get a kick out of this stat, is they have not been this many games out of first place this late in the season since 1999, when they were 11.5 out, and now they're 9.5 out. But on the positive side, the Padres have not been great. Fernando Tatis Jr. is hurt, and you only trail the Padres by 5 games. So maybe, you know, if you catch lightning in a bottle with Happ and Lester and they give you 5 or 6 good starts apiece, you'd have a shot. You're not catching the Brewers, though.
Hey, Frank, you mentioned the pitching staff and how old they are, and hopefully we'll be seeing at least one of their youthful stars on his way back here soon. Flaherty, who threw a rehab assignment at Memphis yesterday, is he pretty close to coming back?
He's going to do one more start in Memphis, and likewise for Michaelis. What concerns me is that they're only going like 3 and 4 innings. So all of a sudden you get to the big leagues and you got to go 7. We have enough 4 and 5 inning starting pitchers. We have enough of them all freaking season long. We need somebody to go 7.
That's a good point. Right.
And join Adam Wainwright. Yeah.
Now the Flaherty start yesterday didn't go well, did it?
It wasn't great. You know, the thing about it is these rehab starts are like these minor league starts. Mark, you know, like not minor league starts, like these spring training starts, that if you pitch well, I'm really doing well. But if you get rocked, you simply say, well, I'm working on something. And so Flaherty yesterday went 32 pitches. He had a 32-pitch first inning, and he threw 38 strikes and fanned 5 over 3 innings. So it was good, not great. I think with Flaherty, they think if you get out of it and you don't feel poorly, then that is a success.
What did you think of the Olympics this weekend? We talked about it a little bit earlier this hour when Sue had Sue's News, some pretty good stories developing. I guess Simone Biles is going to compete, we have learned today, in the balance beam, right?
Yes, and every NBC affiliate, which I'm a part of, absolutely thrilled because that rating on Tuesday night, you know, most people when they make a comeback, it's like a year later. She's making a comeback like 3 or 4 days later. It's going to be great for ratings. I'd love to see her win the gold on the balance beam. But let's not bury the lead. The lead is that a Texas-born Italian is now the fastest man in the world.
How about that? I'm glad you brought it up. The guy that won the 100 meter, right?
Yes, Lamont Marcel Jacobs, who was born in Texas and then moved to Italy like when he was 6 months old. And all that fine pasta made him the great athlete he is.
Well, you say that, but he seems to have a physique of more of a normal athlete, not just a string bean, you know, sprinter. He's a big dude, isn't he?
He is. He looked like he could play like outside linebacker.
Yeah.
And Mark, I got to tell you, the other really interesting thing is, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, and Dave's, is the high jump competition where they finished in a tie and they went to the two competitors And they said, do you want to continue or do you want to share the gold? And they said, we'll share the gold. Now, I know that a lot of people, and it kind of defies what sports is all about. You know, everybody doesn't get a trophy. It's got to be a winner. It's got to be like this. But I have to tell you, with all that said, if I'm one of those two people and I have a chance to win a gold, I'll take the gold and walk away.
Yeah. I think it's a movie script waiting to happen.
I've been in poker tournaments where you're down to two people and you split the pot, and that's a pretty good move. I liked it. I thought it was a good move. Those guys had tried three. You talked about it a little bit earlier this afternoon, but they tried three times on the jump, you know, that they failed on. They had each reached the same height. So I thought it was pretty cool just seeing their reaction. They both get gold medals. I approve. We need more moments like that.
Absolutely.
All right, Cusimano, well, thank you very much, and I'll await some milkshake plans for this week as well.
We are definitely getting it done this week. This is embarrassing.
That's
all right. Thank you, sir.
There were extenuating circumstances last week. Frank Cusimano over at Channel 5. He's with us every Monday and Friday after. Where are the Cardinals, by the way, this week, Dave? They're still at home, aren't they?
In Atlanta.
And then they come home.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, because Jennings reached out a few weeks ago. He's down in Louisville, big fan of the Cardinals. He's coming in this Friday, I think, with his kids. But I'm going to be in Columbia, Missouri, so I can't hook up. Although we might get him in the studio on Friday afternoon.
We'll Cardinals are at home against Atlanta starting
Thank
tomorrow.
You. Yeah, this is the homestand, and then they kind of hit the road again. Coming up in the next hour, I think I'm going to take some phone calls here because there new polling on optimism when it comes to COVID. The numbers are in the tank. Nobody has any, you know, good feelings about this anymore because we seem to be in deja vu territory. I also want to get to the issue of businesses that are requiring a vaccine because that seemingly is happening more and more often. Also in the next hour, St. Louis Alderman Jack Coder. There's more problems at the city jail and the workhouse. I do want to talk about the moratorium on evictions ending as well because the real facts of that are very revealing. So that more in audio cut of the day in the 5 o'clock hour, 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.